right. Well, today's topic and title is Wait for It. Sounds fun, right? My favorite thing to do, waiting. I love to wait. I am the most patient person you will ever meet. My husband's on the front row right now, and he's laughing. I'm so patient, right? I've been so patient. I'm so patient. I wish. No, I'm getting more patient. As I'm maturing, I am getting more patient. Maybe you can relate. Maybe I'm talking to a whole bunch of people here who just, the fruit of the Spirit, patience, is just working so good in you right now that you're like, Brittany, I don't know what you're talking about. And for the other half that are like, can we speed this life up? I'm with you. Let's go. I'm right here with you. So I want to reflect on a couple of scenarios in my life. So I've been married to my amazing husband for almost 11 years now. Yes. So amazing. I mean, marriage is no joke, right? Like each year you accomplish, that is an accomplishment. Accomplishment. So I would just like to thank myself. Just kidding. It's an accomplishment. So I remember early on, before we even got married, that's in like that kind of like wooing phase, right? You know, where let me show you what I can do, or let me try to do some things, you know, and show you like what the future has for you. So my mom is an incredible baker, cooker? Yeah. So I'm not in the kitchen much, but she's a baker, and my husband quickly fell in love with her baking, her cooking, and he fell in love with one of her cookies called a snickerdoodle. Oh, okay, him too, like, ooh, a lot, okay? So think of it as a glorified sugar cookie with like all the cinnamon in the world, like just dumped on in it, okay? So first time around, we're dating, I'm with my mom, she's coaching me, we hammer out these snickerdoodles like he's in love. I'm like, yes, it is possible, I got this. Okay, so then it's a couple years down the line, and I'm like, okay, we got to keep the spark alive. Like, what do we got? Okay, snickerdoodles. I did them once, like I could totally do them. Go to the store, get everything that I need for these snickerdoodles, and you know, I can't really handle things that have too many instructions, and the whole like waiting period of like the timer and like all that stuff, I just didn't do it right, okay? It's just not my strong suit of like following orders, really like being patient with how things progress. These things, they were like a sugar cookie. The snickerdoodles kind of look like this at the top, you know? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Kind of like, well, these were like they had kind of like sunken back. I really didn't put, I just didn't follow, right? And so, he hasn't requested those ever again. And we still like joke about it, you know, because of how horrible it was. One day I'm gonna have redemption, but I'm just not there yet. Also my daughter, my 9-year-old, she likes to, she just joked a couple weeks ago in regards to kind of my patience. If she's looking for like a home cooked meal, she'll go either to my mom's house or my mother-in-law's house. She's sitting right over here. Like these are like the home cooked, like soul, like you feel, you know? You feel it. And if she's looking for something like good old fashioned in the microwave, like I'm it. She's coming right here. She's coming here. But I should correct her because the microwave really isn't my go-to. It's the It's the air fryer. There's some snaps in the back for the air fryer. Yes. It's like an oven. A little quicker. I really appreciate that. Like it can get things going really quick. Also, last thing about my lack of patience in my life, I got my license at 17. Looking back, that's pretty young to get your license, but I was ready, you know, like, let's go. I'm getting to college at 17. I got a drive to San Diego State from Eastlake. Like, let's get out of the driveway. So my dad was always making fun of me, just like peeling out of the driveway. Like, I'm good at reversing. I can back into a spot way better than I can pull in. Pulling in is a little tricky, but back, like, you know, you got your backup camera, but I didn't have a backup camera. This was like 2006. I have my little rear view camera. I get it right there. I get it, and it's just like, bam, pull right out, and then I'd be like a little bit of screeching, but that was fine. But it wasn't until I just started getting speeding tickets like over and over. I was like, does this happen so early in like your time on the road? Like, isn't that like, don't they usually get like spread out? Like, it was kind of like, they were coming. And I remember this one time. Okay, here we are. This is the perfect example. 805 right here. I would come from Telegraph and I would come up 805 to go to San Diego State. And it would get real congested, like 7 o'clock. You know what I'm talking about. The congestion is real on that 805. And right here, I saw some people. They would exit Bonita Road. They would come down, and they would come down through this light on Bonita Road. But this light right here, you're only supposed to turn right or turn left, right? But then they would just go right across, and they just sneak on through, and then they'd pop back up there and get on the freeway, and they'd avoid all that congestion. Sign me up. Like, let's go down there and avoid all this. I'm going to get to class on time, maybe get to finish my mascara there instead of on the road. Like, let's get going. So I did it once, and like, yes, this will be a new routine. Like, let's do it. You know, you check real quick, and then you go. Well, on like a second or third time, yeah, there he is, like right there, pull on over. And then me and everybody up, lining up on the side of the road, get your ticket. Like, this was a right or a left. You weren't supposed to be coming in here. So needless to say, historically, patience has not been a strong suit for me. But I do believe that the Lord is working on me, and I believe he's working on you too, and I believe that we have the ability to wait, and I want to provide some encouragement to myself today and to all of us today when it comes specifically to waiting. You guys, you ready for that? All right. So here's our kind of grounding scripture for the morning. It's found in Ecclesiastes 3. This is what it says. Actually, let's all read it together. We did really good the first time. I think we're going to do even better this time. Okay, remember, after three. One, two, three. There is a right. We're going to get it. It's all good. We're just going to have a great time together today, no matter what happens. All right. Yeah. A one, a two, a three. There is a right time for everything, and everything on earth will happen at the right time. Yes, it will. Do not forget that. We are serving a good, good God. Let that ground us today. So I want to encourage you along a couple of lines. God has a really, really good plan for you, in case you forgot. He is always on time. He does everything on purpose, and he can be trusted. And in the middle, you can grow in strength, and you can mature more. That's what we're going to focus on today, those topics. A quote by Stephen Furtick, who's a pastor, an author, a composer, it says, "The only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing you had." Let that not be us. Let that not be me. Let that end with cooking for me, but not for my spiritual life. Let that not be me. Let that not be you. Also, Christine Kane, another amazing speaker, author, she says, "You and I face a huge question. Do we trust God to do in his own timing what only he can do?" So today's encouragement, we're going to talk about these four topics that I just mentioned to you. We're going to dive a little bit into knowing God's heart for you specifically. We're going to be encouraged to trust God always. We're going to be encouraged to grow in strength and encouraged to mature more. All right, buckle up. Let's get ready. So let's talk about knowing God's heart. So let's just baseline John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He gave, he loves you. No question about it. God loves you, and he has a really, really good plan for your life. And it's in his timing and not your timing. And he's the one that places desires on the inside of our hearts. Those little things that we get inspired to do and those visions that we have, he places that on the inside of us. There's a quote by a man who was prolific back in the 1900s, A.W. Tozer. And it says, God never hurries. There are no deadlines against which God must work. Only to know this is to quiet and relax our nerves. Let that sink in as well. Also, so here's this great scripture that God gave to Habakkuk. It reminds us really that God places the desires in our hearts. That's who God is. He loves us and places desires. He places visions. He places purposes in our life, and he promises to fulfill them. He doesn't just leave us with these things. He doesn't just put these talents and abilities in us and then says, see you later, maybe you'll work it out or not. No, he is the God of follow through. He is the finisher of those things that he put on the inside of you. And so here in Habakkuk 2 verse 3 is God already delivered a vision, a plan to Habakkuk, and this is what he told Habakkuk to do. Put it in writing, because it is not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly. Everybody say quickly. And what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. Everybody say wait for it. It will certainly take place, and it will not be delayed. That's some encouragement right there. Not only did I put this in your heart, but it is going to happen. It won't be delayed. It is coming for you. So I encourage you, it is coming for you. When I think back on my life of some waiting periods and some time where I really had to engage my trust, and really the outcome was me knowing who God was deeper, was when I had just finished my bachelor's degree in psychology from San Diego State. And I knew that I wanted to continue on with my education and I wanted to get my master's. I applied for my master's in social work, and I got in. But right after I applied and got in, I got another email sent back saying, and in order to secure your spot, Brittany, you need to provide us with $400. Well, $400 can be a lot when it's spontaneous and when you're working a part-time job in college. And so that was super overwhelming. I didn't know how I was going to get this $400 to secure my spot. Well, randomly, my grandma, my God-fearing grandma, my grandma who heard from God all her life, she sends me a check in the dollar amount for $400, right, to like get me into this program. So that right there, I mean, that was 15, it was a long, long time ago. I will never forget God coming through so real for me in that tangible need. And so that was just the beginning of what I needed. I needed to get into the program. I needed the money to get into the program, but I didn't have the money to pay for the program. My dad had paid for half of my undergrad, and then I was on my own for the rest of it, and I knew I was going to be on my own. It was just going to be me and Jesus, like, hanging on tight to each other for this master's program, because Dad, he let go. He was holding on tight for the first 2 years, and he had released me. So there I was, managing my money, my jobs, and, you know, trying to make it work. But I knew this was going to be a whole lot more money getting my master's. But here I am receiving this check right at the very beginning. I'm like, oh, God, like, yes. And so then an opportunity presented itself for me to apply to this program that would pay for the entirety of my master's program. I applied for it. I brought my best self to that interview. I sat down there. I eloquently delivered the responses to my questions. And no, I did not make it into that program. That was my ticket. I was like, God, we talked about this. You gave me the 400. You were going to hook me up with this. We were going to go, like, what's happening, right? So I talked to the administrative secretary of that program. And she said, Brittany, other people apply to schools in other parts of California for this same program. They may accept those programs. So while we're holding the spot for them right here, but, you know, a couple months down the line, they may accept somewhere else and an opening might come. So you could just, like, check in periodically. I checked in weekly. Lord, like, come on, open that door. I tell you, 1 week before my master's program started, somebody out there dropped out of the program, and I was able to sneak myself in there. The door opened just like God said he would, and my master's was paid for by this program, who then not only pays for you to go to school, but then promises you a job with the County of San Diego. It happened a long time ago, and can you still see like how deep that was for me? Like, that is, but that's so God, right? He's the one to open the doors. My best self coming to that interview did not open that door for me, clearly. Right? Like, I was not the person they were looking for that spot. Yet, the persistence, yet, I knew, like, do you ever just like know, like, God, you didn't give me that $400 to get in the program for no reason. That $400 doesn't compare to the amount of money that it was for that program. Like, that was little compared to that. But God, if you could do that little thing, I know you're going to do that big thing. Why'd you do that little thing for no reason, God? Like, you're not going to leave me, like, dangling, like, dangle the carrot. Like, I am engaged and trust with you, and that's what happens. It's so cool, right? Like, it's so, so cool because really, these moments, like, they catapult you for the rest. There's things that can ground you. So I want to know, what are your stories? What has happened to you, or what will your story be after you get through this waiting period? Because those, it's not my story that's going to ground you. It's what God did in you that you're going to look back on and that you're going to remember when you're going through it again. Because if you are currently not waiting for something right now, I guarantee previously, you have been waiting for something, and I guarantee that in the future, tomorrow, a couple months from now, you're going to be in a waiting period. And so what has grounded you? What do you remind yourself about the faithfulness of God that's going to push you through? Because you're going to need a push. We all are going to need a push through in these waiting periods. So a couple of scripture verses that just remind us of the goodness of God and the plans that he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11, it's famous. It says, I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. He puts hope and vision on the inside of us, and he plans to make it come to pass. It says he's got plans of peace for you too. Waiting can produce some anxiety. He's got peace for you right in the middle of all of that. Also, Romans 8:28 says, I know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. He's got good things for you. We're going to do a quick water break. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, and we're back. So God's really got good things for you. He really, really does. And his timing is perfect. Like, I had to wait for 8 months from the 400 to however much got dropped in. Like, it was a wait. It was like, I already got matched with a whole different internship, and I was so mad about that because it wasn't the right internship because I was waiting for this program to open. So at the right time, what was that, Ecclesiastes? There's a right time for everything, and everything on earth will happen at the
right time.
Exactly. Okay. So God's intentional, and he's really on a different, like, time schedule than us. Can anyone attest to that? Like, he's really not on this, like, 24-hour cycle situation here. So 2 Peter 3:8, it says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Is that not confusing and kind of like stressful? Like, is it going to be the 1,000-year situation or the one day? What are we working with, God? Like, you dropped the vision in my heart. How long are we going to wait? Like, it could happen real fast. It could be a slow situation. Either way, it's going to come to pass because everything on earth happens at the right time, right? We're making some good progress here today. I believe that you're hooking up and letting this sink down into your soul, into your spirit, because we're going to wait well. We're going to wait well, and we're going to watch God show up for us. And then again, we're going to wait well, right? So trust God always. In the middle, the trust is that grounding thing like I talked about. So there's a quote from Corey Ten Boom. She was a pioneer for godly women back in the 1800s, a writer, a speaker. And she said this famous quote, maybe you've heard it or you've seen it. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got good plans for you. He is trustworthy. You can trust him. He always comes through. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6 says, okay, this is one of my husband's favorite scripture verses, and I think it's so impactful to all of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I was going to make you say it with me, but we've had a hard time this morning. So you need to really sink in. I've had a hard time. But trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He's going to direct your paths. Another version says he will make them straight. You ever look out in your future and it's just look like a maze? And it looks like really bumpy and hilly and like these horrible trees. We watched Lion King yesterday, and there's a part where like Simba is running away from the hyenas, which my four-year-old daughter calls them crazy dogs. Okay, so if you can think of the Lion King, Simba, he's running away from the crazy dogs down, and then he goes into like this like, I don't know, briar patch, prickly, thorn, something, and he goes down in there. What was the purpose of me saying that? Oh, yes. Sometimes when we look in our future, it can look like that. Prickly, freaky, like it's going to hurt me. I can't figure it out. How am I literally going to navigate through that thing? Yes, God, I trust you. And this looks crazy, like I can't do it. But bring yourself back to the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. It's dependable. The Bible says that when I lean on him, when I trust him, he's going to direct it and he's going to make it straight. He can cut down those things, move those things out of the way so I can walk through them and get to where he has for me to be. So part of this trust is really what's coming out of our mouth. We have to get our confession like tight when we're in those trusting times. Like we can't be, yeah, doubt's gonna like come in and out of our mind, but we're not gonna grab it. Like we gotta grab down the Word of God and like push it out so it can sink back in. So what I've had to do is grab portions of scripture verse and then kind of flip it real quick into an easy to remember confession and then make sure that I'm spouting that out as often as I can. So there's three that I think could be helpful for all of us today. First one is Psalms 37, verse 25. I love this scripture verse. It says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Yes, I'm in right standing with God. Never will I be forsaken. Never will I be abandoned. So that is what I choose to say. He is going to take care of me. He is not going to abandon me. He is not going to forsake me. He's going to see this through with me. Matthew 6, verse 34 says, so do not worry about tomorrow. This is really hard to do. My husband knows it's hard for me to do. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what is my confession? I refuse to worry about tomorrow. I choose to go one day at a time. I will put my future in God's hands. I choose. It's a decision. I refuse to worry, and I choose to trust. I refuse to worry. I choose to trust. The opposite of fear is faith. The opposite of faith is fear. I will not walk in fear. I will walk in faith and trust that God will give me the desires of my heart that God put inside my heart. that he says are mine, that they will come to pass, and they're not delayed. They are coming. Last one, Isaiah 43, verse 19. 18 through 19. It says, "Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there." God is moving in my life, even when I can't see it. He's opening doors for me. He's making paths straight for me. He's going before me, and I trust him now, and I'm going to continue to trust him then. He's moving. The Bible says that in the beginning in Genesis, he was hovering over the waters. Just because you can't see him does not mean he's not there. Just because you don't see any progress on what you're waiting for does not mean that progress is not happening. It is. Wait for it. Wait and trust. I believe that also, this is our third point, we're doing good here this morning. We're on number 3 of 4. I believe that you can grow in strength as you wait. You don't have to get weaker as you're waiting. You ever live with somebody who is tired, who's been parenting all day, who's been working all week, who's been out in the back on a project, who's like given it all to their job, and they just come home depleted? Do you ever like see them not be their most mature self? Do you ever see them like not respond in that like kind, loving, patient manner? Because they're depleted, right? Like they are tired, they are irritable. I am tired, I am irritable, and I'm not gonna be able to give what I normally would. But how much is that? How can you mirror that for our physical bodies and our physical reactions? What about spiritually as we're waiting? Are we depleted? Are we tired? Are we over it? Are we not leaning on God in the middle of it? It's going to look the same, right? You're going to know somebody who's waiting in faith versus someone who's like waiting and they're like on the verge of not waiting anymore. There's a quote from a German Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It says, "I believe that God will give all the strength we need to help us resist in times of distress, but he never gives it in advance, lest we should rely on ourselves and not him alone." Rely on him. There's this great verse in Colossians 1, verse 4 in the Amplified Version that describes really what faith is. It says, "Faith is the leaning of your entire human personality on God, on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, in his wisdom, and in his goodness." Let us be found gaining strength by faith in God as we wait. We will get stronger as we wait. Perfect example of this is found in Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'll read the scripture verse, and we're going to break it up into two parts. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's us. That is going to be us. That is going to be everybody in this church. We are going to wait on God with faith. We are going to increase our faith, not decrease our faith. We are going to run with endurance. So waiting in faith, it will enable you to rise above your emotions. Let's think about how it feels to wait. Let's think about it. There's a couple emotions that, you know, I just kind of pulled out of thin air, not personal experience or anything, but these could possibly be, you know, any of us who are in the middle of waiting and really deciding that I need to soar above this. So really that first part of the verse that says they shall mount up with wings like eagles just makes me visually see me rising above what I'm waiting for and my eyes staying up and almost like, you know, the analogy of the duck in the water where like it seems chill on top and then those feet be going crazy underneath. the emotions going crazy underneath, but choosing to focus up while I'm waiting in faith. And these are a couple of things that I believe that we can personally soar above while we wait. Fear and worry, we can soar above that. Frustration, God, you're taking too long. This is not what I signed up for. This is like literally too much for me to carry and too long for me to carry this. We can rise above that. Resentment, I should have it by now. How could they not see my greatness? God, how could you not see my greatness? How could you not think I'm not ready now? I've grown. I can handle it. Just give me a chance. Why do others have it and not me? Only person? Maybe. Doubt. Anyone ever thought, does he not love me? Did I do something wrong? Like, well, why is it not happening? Am I unqualified for this? The answer is no. Self-reliance. Do I need to figure it out by myself again? I can't rely on God. He wasn't there for me before, so why would he show up now? The devil likes to try to trick us and twist things and make us feel like God was not there for us in that moment. God was right there in that moment, just like he has always been in each of your moments. You can soar above those emotions. You can, by looking to him, by trusting him, by changing what's coming out of your mouth, you can grow in strength and soar above those emotions. And you can keep going. The last part of that verse says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you can actively stay in faith and stay connected to God in trust. You can keep going. You will not burn out. You can make progress. You can continue with momentum. You can keep going. You can stay faithful and not quit because you lean on God with all of your human personality in faith, in trust that he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He said that those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. He has renewed strength for each of us today, renewed strength for each of us. I think about early on in my career, we talked about, you know, how I got into grad school. After I completed grad school, I did start working for the County of San Diego, and I've been there for the past 11 years. I work in a department called the Department of Child and Family Wellbeing. It's our child protection agency here in San Diego. And early on, God had placed big visions and big dreams on the inside of my heart. But when you work for a really large department, a huge program, like it's on a slow timetable. Like this is moving along in this agency has been slow. And it was hard for me initially. I had those thoughts of, do they not see my greatness? Look what God put on the inside of me. Look what I could do to help bring change and impact. And I went on numerous interviews, things I didn't qualify for, but somehow thought I qualified for, and continued to get the same feedback. Brittany, you need to diversify your experience. You need to get a bigger picture of what this whole agency does before you continue to move on. And that was hard. I thought I had a big enough picture. I got a lot of no's. Those no's were discouraging, but God has put something on the inside of me that just pushes me real, real hard to just keep on going and stay the course. So there was a moment that finally, after multiple interviews of me knocking on doors, has anyone in the room ever had the experience of you knocking on a million doors, they're not opening, and then you sit your bottom down, and then one door over there just opens because God opened it, and that's how it was supposed to, like... Okay, cool. So we're on the same page. And so we got to learn from that, right? And not keep knocking at all the doors all over again and then sit down finally when, you know. So finally, once I sat down, there came an open door. And ever since that first door has opened, it's just been like the song we sang, like, and another one, and another one. And it has been so cool to watch when that first door opened. It was, and then now these other ones, like that first door, really, it wasn't a door I really wanted to walk in. It was a rough door that the Lord had for me. It wasn't a fun door, but the rest of these doors after that initial real rough one, they've been awesome. And I thank God for all of those no's that I got, because those would have been horrendous. Though my life would have been hard if I would have, if those doors would have opened to the ones that I wanted just for the sake of promoting, just for the sake of trying to get a little higher. And I thank God that He really, really, really wanted to mature me. I thank God that He really, really wanted to work something in me and bring the right people across my path and give me those experiences and give me just the time. I opened this message with, I don't like waiting, but there is a gift of time. The maturity, I mean, if we try to like connect it to cooking, which I know is a stretch for me, but like the marinating, right? That's a good thing, right? And like the sitting in the crock pot for a while, in an oven, a pot boiling, the juices, right? It's supposed to be real, real good, I've heard. maybe one day I'll cook. Today is not the day, especially after church on a Sunday, is not the day to put anything in that crock pot or anything in that air fryer. But I thank God for the opportunity that He's given me to mature. God, let that be our desire. God, mature me. Mature me as I wait. I came across a couple of quotes. One by a Christian author named Tiffany L. Jackson. When you think about the success you desire, don't forget that God's not yet doesn't mean not ever. Priscilla Shire, a Christian author and speaker. What might God be trying to grow in your character or cement in your relationship with Him by keeping you separated from some of the things you want but don't yet have? What might He be wanting to do in me? And last quote here by Lisa Brevere, speaker, author. Sometimes arriving too quickly is detrimental. It is dangerous to arrive without our character mature or intact. Let us be found to mature. No matter what age we're at, no matter what stage of life, let our prayer be, God, mature me. So as we close here, I want to just bring us back to a scripture, and then I want to read a portion regarding King David. We'll talk about David. He was anointed early on, and then we'll talk about how he kind of became king. But I want to bring you back to this scripture verse, 1 Peter verse 5 through 6. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you at the, is it up there? Oh, is it up there? It's not, but my husband knows. He said, at the right time. Let me say it again. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the right time. Two other translations, the Passion Translation says, if you bow low in God's awesome presence, He will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in His hands. Last translation, because sometimes there's just too many good translations, you can't pick one. This one in the Message, it says, be content. He will promote you at the right time. That's for all of us. That thing, promotion or not, the thing that God's placed on the inside of your heart will happen at the right time. So in closing, King David, he was anointed by God to become king at age 13. However, he did not become king and start serving as king until 15 years later. That's a long time for some of us to wait for something, 15 years. But I just want to read this portion that I found while doing a study on King David's life. Kind of wordy, but I've been talking a lot and you guys have been listening all day. You're doing good. So let me just close here with a little passage here. It says, God spoke a word through the prophet Samuel, declaring David's destiny. And then God seemed to be pulling David deliberately backwards away from that goal. Great tension was created as the gap between the spoken promise and the apparent reality seemed to grow wider and wider. When we look at the life of David, there are many things we can draw upon to sustain us in our times of waiting, frustration, and hardship. The wait is an important refining, training, and testing time, often in a way that may seem opposite to where we want to be. It was during the hard wilderness years, after having been anointed as king, yet seemingly a million miles away from the reality of that promise, that David learned the ropes. The arrow was being stretched further and further backwards in the bow, ready to be catapulted ahead with great power. Just as David's time as a shepherd taught him how to fight beast to prepare for the epic battle with Goliath. His time leading a bunch of ruffians while trying to avoid death taught him how to fight his inner battles with his ego and lead well. He learned how to truly rely on God in an otherworldly way. And that is how God trained David to be such an extraordinary king. Like a slingshot, God is pulling you further, harder, and with more power when you hit your target. So I'll close in this. This is a scripture verse that was inserted right before David was anointed as king. This was what flowed out of David after he was about to leave this 15-year waiting period and get exactly what God had called him to be. I don't know if he knew it was coming or not, but in my Bible, it categorized this chapter where this verse was found as David's poetic praise before he became king. It says in Psalms 27, verse 14, "Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you." Let's go ahead and stand together as we close this morning. He will never disappoint you. He's got good for you. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. He's reliable. He put those plans inside your heart. His timing is perfect. He will bring them to pass. He loves you so, so much. Keep waiting. Keep waiting in faith. He's got good, good for you. As we close today, I want to invite everyone just to close their eyes. I want to pray for us all, and then I want to pray for those who have never accepted Jesus into their heart. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in this present moment, and at the same time, we choose to trust you. We refuse to worry and be scared and have fear and become irritated and be drained. We choose to lean on you and gain strength while we wait, because we trust that what you started in us, you will fulfill it. You will bring it to completion in the name of Jesus. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to invite anybody who has never taken that step or who wants to take that step again to invite Jesus to come live on the inside of your heart. To say, "I'm going to step aside from the way I've been going. I'm going to follow you." So if that's you today, I would love for you to raise your hand and we're going to join with you in a prayer. So on the count of three, if that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. You say, "I want to invite Jesus to live on the inside of me. I want to take steps." I see one hand. Anybody else? "I want to take steps towards you, with you as the one who I trust on, you as the one who I lean." Okay, let's pray together, all of us, as I lead us here in a prayer. Today, we're going to look to you, God. We're going to trust you. So let's pray this all together.